Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Good? Great? Wonderful? Well, fantastic. Good. I am Pastor Alicia. I am honored to say I am the pastor here at this church because there are so many great things going on in this church, outside of this church, through our congregation members. So I would like to send out a big, warm welcome to each and every one of you. We spent the summer talking about people who have been left out and reflecting on how Jesus consistently reached out to those on the outside. We also noticed that sometimes people were in awe of his ability to heal and forgive, and sometimes they were afraid of his power. Perhaps his actions scared them because they didn't want to give up what they had and live a life that focused on, even demanded, such concern for all of God's people. This week's scripture reveals why Jesus' message was hard to accept and challenges us to consider how we accept Jesus' message. Jesus doesn't save us from something. Jesus saves us to something. What is Jesus saving you to do? And what is Jesus saving this church to do? Please stand in body or spirit and join me in considering the question, would I have answered when you called?
Would I have answered when you called, come follow me? Would I at once have left behind both work and family? Or would the old familiar round have held me by its claim and kept the spark within my heart from bursting into would I have followed where you led through ancient Galilee, on roads unknown, by ways untried, beyond security? Or would I soon have hurried back where home and comfort where truth you taught would not disturb the ordered world I knew? Would I have matched my step with yours when cross cried crucify? When on a rocky hill I saw a cross against the sky, or would I too have slipped away and left you there alone, a dying king with crown of thorns upon a terrible throne? Oh Christ, I cannot search my heart through all its tangled ways, nor can I with a certain mind my steadfastness appraise. I only pray that when you call, come follow me. You'll give me strength beyond my own to follow faithfully.
Amen. Please remain standing and join me in our call to worship. We are people who have been called to follow where God leads us.
Unfaith,
We are people who have been challenged to tell God's story to others. We are God's children who are invited to feast at the table of grace. Amen. Look around. You are surrounded by the beautiful diversity of the people of God. This is God's family. Before you settle back into your seats, take time to connect with your neighbors and share with them the boundless love of God, saying, "Peace of Christ be with you." When you hear the music, it means it's time to find your seat again, and I'll invite the children to come forward. Will the children please come forward as they're comfortable?
This is where children belong, welcomed as part of the worshiping throng. Water, God's word, bread and cup, prayer and song. This is where children belong. This is where children belong, welcomed as part of the worshiping throng. Water, God's word, bread and cup, prayer and song. This is where children belong.
Hi, good morning. How are you today? Good. I'm glad to see you today. So what do you see up here behind you? What is this? Do you recognize it? What could it possibly be? It's a rock wall. Jacob got it on the first try. Good job. So we're going to be talking this month about how it's a really hard thing, a really rocky road or a rocky mountain to climb to follow Jesus. It's not easy. It's really hard. And so we thought that we'd have a rock climbing wall up here to remind us of how hard it is in this rocky road. So we have these up here and know that they will fall off if you pull on them, just because we didn't want anyone to really actually try to climb the mountain or the rock climbing wall today. I also see ropes up there. I forgot the microphone. What are the ropes used for? Have you ever seen a rock climbing wall? Actually, Stephen, can you flip to that, please? Has anyone ever done this before? Matthew, have you? Have you climbed a wall like this? Maybe even without the help, right, Mom? Have you ever done that? You have? So what is the rope used for? Do you remember what the rope is used for? Have you done this, Jim? Have you ever done rock climbing? No? Okay. Jacob, do you remember what the rope is used for?
So you won't fall down.
Yeah, so you won't fall down, exactly. Have you done it, Matthew?
No,
you haven't? Okay. Yeah, so the rope is used to kind of harness you in so you don't fall, right, Jacob? And then sometimes the rope it gets thrown over the top if someone needs extra help climbing, and you can go climb up the rope, not just the rock, whatever these things are called. Do you know what they're called? I don't even know what they're called. Grips. So next week I think we're going to talk more about ropes and how they're helpful besides this one way. I'm so glad that we got to talk about the rock climbing wall, and I'm glad that you have experience with it. I actually have also done rock climbing on a pretend wall like that, not a real mountain, and it was really hard. Was it easy for you, Jacob, or hard? It's hard, right? For me, I don't know about you, but it was really hard because I'm scared of heights. And so as I got higher, I got scared because I was up high. What happened to you? Was that hard part?
No.
What part was hard for you?
Just not falling.
Just not falling. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree. Luckily, we have the harness and the rope to keep us from falling to the bottom. All right, well, will you pray with me? And next week, we're going to talk more about our rope. I'm thinking we're going to leave it right up here in this seat so we remember. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we are so grateful that you have a rope that helps us climb when we fall and that keeps us safe so that we don't fall. Be with us this week as we remember what a hard, rocky road it is to follow you. And be with all of us here that we might have a safe and fun and educational experience this week at school. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you can go sit with whoever brought you. You can go find them. Thanks for coming and talking with me. And we are graced today because the choir will be singing, Come Eat This Bread. Thank you, choir. We've missed you so much. We're so grateful you're here today, right? We continue our journey in the Gospel of Luke, remembering Jesus' ministry. Jesus was becoming a rock star, but it seemed like people were coming for the miracles and missing the message. Jesus decided it was time to get blunt about it. I'm reading from verses 25 through 33. In the 14th chapter of Luke. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Turning to them, he said, "Whoever comes to me and doesn't hate father and mother, spouse and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, even one's own life, cannot be my disciple. If one of you wanted to build a tower, wouldn't you first sit down and calculate the cost to determine whether you have enough money to complete it? Otherwise, when you have laid the foundation but couldn't finish the tower, all who see it will begin to belittle you. They will even say, 'Here's the person who began construction and couldn't complete it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down to consider whether his 10,000 soldiers could go up against the 20,000 coming against him? And if he didn't think he could win, would he send a representative to discuss terms of peace while his enemy was still a long way off? In the same way, none of you who are unwilling to give up all your possessions can be my disciple. This is the word of God for the people of God. Wow. These are some strong words from Jesus. I read this and I thought, what happened to the love Jesus we're always talking about? The truth is, following Jesus is a commitment. It is something to truly think about, even calculate about, because it is life-changing and life-challenging. This scripture is boldly and in your face asking, are you all in? Why would Jesus tell Christians to hate or walk away from family and friends? Well, let's be honest. Sometimes some friends or family members are just not healthy for us. Sometimes they pull us away from our relationship with God. There have been a few times in my own life when I needed to create space in an unhealthy friendship. Some of us are super nervous right now to go to family functions because we're afraid a topic will come up and an argument will begin. We don't want to argue or break up friendships, but sometimes we need to step away for self-care and to be healthy. Melissa McEwen said, as my friend Maud once said, there are times when you must speak, not because you are going to change the other person, but because if you don't speak, they have changed you. Furthermore, when we are a disciple of Jesus, we need to stand our ground in a loving and compassionate way. Following Jesus means sharing God's love and justice even when it's not the popular choice. This may ruffle some feathers in our families, in our social circles, and even with our friends. We are not out to be popular, but to follow Jesus' teachings of loving God, loving neighbor, and loving ourselves. Let's spend some time reflecting on the last verse of our scripture, you know, the one when Jesus tells us to give up all of our possessions. The commentator from the Wesley Study Bible shares this. In Luke's gospel, Jesus' words usually discourage people from following him. Jesus is never interested in attracting great crowds. His concern is to attract followers who have considered the tremendous sacrifices he is requesting and who are willing to make those sacrifices. Jesus warns that the one who squeezes commitment to him within a host of other priorities as one of the many good things to check off the list cannot be his disciple. Jesus boldly tells us to give up our possessions. Maybe possessions are not all material things. What thoughts or fears may be holding us back from a deeper relationship with God? We are fragile beings. Maybe we want to hold on to things, material things, or the desire for things. Maybe we're holding on to an addiction. Maybe we are wanting to belong at the cost of turning away from God. Maybe we are believing we can do it all by ourselves. We can handle it. Whatever life throws at us, we can do it all by ourselves. Maybe we're not okay receiving help. Maybe we believe we're always right, and we're not willing to compromise. Maybe we want to prove something to someone, or maybe everyone. Maybe we always want to be in charge and have the last word. And maybe we have the desire to one-up others. or the desire to be in control of our lives, or the people in our lives, just to name a few possessions we may need to let go of. Jesus' unnerving words are saying, let everything go that holds us back from a strong relationship with God. Jesus' followers spend as much time reflecting as they do taking action. Reflection and prayer are key to a deepened relationship with God and with people. In our prayer time, do we think about how we could have handled something differently? Not to beat ourselves up, but to improve our discipleship. Jesus says, come, follow me. Not because it's easy or the popular thing to do, but because it's the hardest thing we will ever do. Following Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus, requires the 24/7 commitment of letting go of people, places, and things that do not bring us closer to God. In our prayer time this week, let's reflect on what we as individuals need to give up to be a disciple, and what as a church we need to give up to be disciples. Discipleship is a hard, rocky road, or even a hard, rocky mountain climb. The good news is God is always with us on the rocky road or mountain climb of life. So, are we all in on our path as disciples of Jesus Christ? Amen. Jesus' call is pretty extreme, but so is the support that he offers to us in answering that call. So please stand in body or spirit and join in singing Grace Alone.
Every promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith, every difference we make is only by His grace. Every mountain we will climb, every supplies, strength unknown He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. Grace alone we long to reach, every heart we hope to reach, everywhere we share His peace, is only by His grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, only by His grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace.
Feel free to be a singer or a listener as we begin our prayer time singing, My Jesus, I Love You. If you would like your prayer request read as a part of worship, please pass your yellow prayer slip to the ushers as they come down the aisle.
My Jesus, I love you, I know you are mine. Oh, you are the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior,
let us be together in prayer as we first have a time of silence. Then I will offer a spoken prayer. And finally, we will sing the Lord's Prayer together to a tune written by Mark Miller. It's a little less complicated than the traditional Malat version we sang last week. We'll sing it for the next 4 weeks, Lord's Prayer. So please know you can take your time learning it. So if today you'd just like to sit and listen so that next week you're ready to sing, that's okay. Now, take a deep breath, get comfortable in your seat, and allow the Holy Spirit to fill your consciousness as you open your heart to God. Loving God, we gather here as friends and family to remember how much you have been with us and how much we long to be with you. Today, some of us welcome the silence, the chaos that goes on in our homes and in our lives and in our minds and in our neighborhoods, and we are grateful for that silence. And some of us wrestle with the silence, because in silence comes all those things, what some call the monkey mind, where we can't stop worrying and can't stop thinking about what could happen next. Be with us in the silence. Be with us that we might know your love in the silence and your love in the chaos of our neighborhoods and our minds. Today we have so much to ask for and pray for. We pray for all those who are dealing with natural disasters, who are left homeless and hungry and in need of medical care. We pray and plead for the Amazon to be saved, that the Amazon might, there might be a solution so that we don't lose precious resources. This is a broken world, and we ask for your healing of this brokenness. Whether it be these natural disasters or things that we as humans do to one another, be with each of us in this place that when we love and pray and live in your compassion and peace, that we might be examples for others, so that your love and compassion and mercy and joy will spread throughout this city and throughout this world. We pray endlessly for peace. Peace in our own hearts, peace in our homes, peace in our neighborhoods, and peace in our world. Will you please join me in singing the prayer that Jesus taught us?
Our God in heaven, holy is your name. Your reign come, your will done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and help us forgive as we have been forgiven. In the time of trial, lead us on to light, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Our God in heaven, holy is your name. Holy is your name.
Amen. So, today is Holy Communion. I'm grateful that you waited for me. We're having this 1 week late, and I'm so grateful. So, Holy Communion is a special, special time. And so I'm going to give you some logistics, and then we're going to get to the liturgy. So after we finish our communion, Holy Communion liturgy, our ushers will invite folks pew by pew from front to back up to receive Holy Communion. In the Methodist tradition, all are welcome at the table. So if you would like to participate in Holy Communion, you are more than welcome to participate. We have gluten-free bread only so that all people can receive, and we have grape juice only so that all people may receive. So, as the ushers invite you up, you'll come up either this aisle or that aisle, and you'll come to your first person, and that person will have the gluten-free bread. You may take a piece of that, and when you get to make a decision. You can either dip your bread into the big cup of grape juice and receive Holy Communion through intinction, or you can eat the bread and then go to the next person and take a little cup of grape juice and drink that. And then that cup can go into the basket at the fourth person. And then you have a choice. You can either go to your seat, which we ask that you go around to the windows and find your seat, and this one as well, out to the windows and to your seat. Or you can kneel at the communion rail and pray and meditate for as long as you would like. I think that's all the logistics. This is the table of the heavenly feast, the joyful celebration of the people of God. We gather now as one body, joined around the table. Here we celebrate God's presence among us, united in God's Spirit, broken and whole all at once. Nourished and hungry, loved and loving, sinner and forgiven, we make one circle of knowing, believing, rejoicing, being as God lights and rests among us. Gracious living God, we give you thanks that you call us to love life and see your gladness in every part of this creation. We give you thanks for your Holy Spirit, The mystery that opens our hearts to the resurrection of our very being, soul, and spirit. Christ invites everyone to eat the bread of life, to drink the cup of the new covenant. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. You who come to me shall never hunger. You who believe in me shall never thirst." On the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to you and broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for the healing of the world. Whenever you eat it, do so remembering me." After this supper was over, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all. Whenever you drink it, do so remembering me." O Holy One, send down your Spirit that these gifts of bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Unite us with Christ forever and bring us with the whole creation to your eternal realm. Will my servers please come forward?
Would you pray with me? God of abundance and mercy, we give joyful thanks for your eternal love and healing presence in our celebration of bread and cup. Bless this body of Christ that we may attend faithfully to our call to be your servants with each other and throughout the world. Amen. We come together from across Onondaga County, representing different cultures, generations, languages, abilities, and identities. Within our diversity, we are united as a community of strangers, mutually committed to Martin Luther King's vision of the beloved community. Our offering is one way we affirm our membership pledge to uphold this church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. Don't forget to put your yellow attendance slips in the plate as the ushers collect the offering. And Dennis shares with us, there's a wideness in God's mercy.
Amen. Please remain standing and join me in the prayer of dedication. Having been welcomed with grace, let us go out this day. Having listened to God's word, let us go to share what we have learned.
We will go to stand with those who are uncertain about life, to walk with those who have stumbled on their journey.
Having been set free by the Spirit, let us go to be siblings and friends with all.
We will go to release those bound by cruelty and injustice, to be healing to those crippled by fears.
Amen. We will go, we will follow, we will trust. Please remain standing and join in singing, Take My Life and Let It Be. So today we have something to celebrate and something that might make us cry a lot, like me. I hope you guys have tissues somewhere because I don't have any. Our friends, our beloved, Barbara and Jerry Cargo, will be moving to Colorado, and this is their last Sunday with us. And so we have a tradition. Yes, let's clap for the joy of them. They have been great friends to so many of us for more years than I can count. And although I've only known them 4 years, I am going to so miss both of them so much. So we have a tradition that is that we sing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds as we say farewell to dear friends. And so what I'd like to do is either hold hands in your pews if you're comfortable with that. If someone would like, or anyone, all of you, might like to come and lay a hand on Jerry or on Barbara, on their shoulder or something, maybe we can like make it spread out. If you're able to do that, that's okay. And we have cake in the back. And what it says on the cake, Jerry and Barb, is until we meet again. Because I know that this is not goodbye forever. It's till we meet again. So let us sing together, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. And so let's hold hands, or you can come and stand next to Jerry and Barb, however we'd like to do it.
Bless thee, the tongue.
Amen. Much, much love to Jerry and Barb. We are going
to
miss you. So, go they're already talking about their plans in Colorado. Go now in peace, for Christ has called you to live in peace among your brothers and sisters in Christ. Go now in courage, for Christ has called you from the places of your life to be agents of redemption and partners in healing. Go now in joy and thanksgiving, for Christ is our light. Go now as one body to love and serve God as you love and serve the world. Amen.